This is the Jazz Scene, dedicated to the preservation, promotion, and appreciation of jazz, America's classical music. I'm Fred Macy. Joe Pass is generally considered to be one of the greatest jazz guitarists of the 20th century. Many have called him a genius. New York Magazine said, "Joe Pass looks like somebody's uncle and plays guitar like nobody's business." After being treated to one of his jaw-dropping performances, I caught up with him.
I have at home Joe Pass, my favorite album of all time, which happens to be called Blues for Fred. But I realized that, well, my name is Fred, it was obviously made for a different Fred. What is it between Fred Astaire and musicians, jazz musicians that existed? There was a great mutual appreciation there.
I guess because he was a great dancer, and he obviously understood or appreciated good music and good tunes. But I really don't know too much, except that I know that he was a good dancer, so he must have known about time and rhythm, and, you know, and he also had a good ear for harmonies, I guess, too.
You're the kind of a musician that other guitarists, other musicians, want to emulate. Who did you emulate? Who kind of was your first inspiration with a guitar?
When I first started, I heard Django Reinhardt record, and I heard Charlie Christian records, but I never copied any of their play. I could not play for you one tune that they were, one copied one record. I copied a lot of Charlie Parker music and Coleman Hawkins, Body and Soul. I remember the first thing I heard. And Nat King Cole, when he had his trio, I used to listen to a lot of Nat King Cole's trio. And Art Tatum, I listened a lot to. But not very many guitar players. I didn't want to sound like a guitar player, so I avoided all the guitar cliche type things.
How would you describe your style of guitar playing? It's different.
Well, this style is this solo style, but it's jazz. It's just playing the guitar. It's not just pure bebop or pure jazz. I like melodies, I like tunes, and I like harmony. So I reharmonize tunes, and I like also rhythm and tempos. And I mean, but it's a mixture of different things. I try to play how I feel.
When I see Joe Pass play, you plug in more than just your guitar. I feel like you plug the instrument into yourself. You become right into your very spirit, into your soul. You become one with that thing, and you take off somewhere. What do you feel?
Well, I try to focus on the music and not think about it. That is, think that I'm going to play this or think of that run. Or I try to like listen to what I'm playing, kind of focus and tune in, not concentrate, but focus, so that I can. So that all I'm absorbed in just what the first note is, what the sound is, and that takes me to another thing and another thing. So I just try to focus on it. Now, you have good nights where everything just happens, and other nights nothing happens.
You come up with some unusual combinations of songs. You put things together a lot. Where do you get that from?
I try to put things together that sometimes they have a reason, like I'll put two Yesterdays together, too. Other times they're just a series of tunes that I think fit together. I don't know. There's no reason, really.
Just kind of experimentation.
Yeah. I mean, I luck out sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Tonight I put three tunes together because I felt like they were fairly new in the category of new tunes. So if I put them together, I don't... maybe I could get something out of them. I don't know. But there's no real reason.
The last 10 or 15 years, you've concentrated mostly on solo playing, yet you've played with some of the greatest jazz musicians that ever were. Looking back to those days, who were some of the people you enjoyed playing with the most?
Oh, I enjoyed very much playing with Ella Fitzgerald. That was great. I enjoy very much accompanying her. I enjoy very much for the sheer energy and the drive of playing and challenge of playing with Oscar Peterson. I mean, because it's big, always... exciting. And then I enjoyed playing when I played made some records with Count Basie, because it was relaxed, and it was really a fantastic thrill for me to make a record with Duke Ellington, which I did in a quartet setting, because I remember when I was a kid I used to go to the Majestic Theater in Pennsylvania, Johnstown, and see that band playing. They did a tour, you know, weekend tours at all the theaters, the Earl Theater, Philadelphia. And I'd see Duke playing, and then years later, I played with him.
How did it feel to become an overnight success in the 70s after, I don't know, what, 30 years in music?
Yeah, I've been playing for 30 years. I made some records in the 60s and late 50s and did studio work, but I never thought about how it felt. I never thought about a career or anything. I mean, I just played the guitar. It was a way to make a living, and I liked to play the guitar, and I didn't know anything else, and that's what I did. And then I met Norman Granz, and he kind of put me with the right people. And you have to be lucky and be in the right place at the right time.
Why do you prefer the solo setting as opposed to being with a group?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, I'm playing solo now by accident. Norman Granz suggested that I play solo, and I thought he was crazy, but I mean, I tried. It was very difficult, and it still is, but he said, piano players do. Segovia plays solo. Why can't you play, you know? And so far, nobody has said to me, hey, where's the drummer, and where's the bass player, and the saxophone player? When they complain about it, maybe I'll have to get a bass and drummer. I like it. It's a real challenge for me. It's really hard to do in some respects, you know. But it's not necessarily a next step for playing the guitar. A lot of young players think that this is something they have to do. It's just I'm doing it and I'm working.
What's the toughest part about playing solo?
Focusing on the music, not concentrating. But the toughest part is being able to tune into what you're playing and just play. That's really hard. And that is affected by, primarily for me, by one thing, the sound that I hear. That is what affects me. If the sound I hear is satisfying to my ears, and that's not like a, it's not a sound that is like really limited in a scope. It's like a general sound. If it fits what I'm hearing, I can play. I mean, it's okay. But if it's not like that, then it's just, it's not me, you know?
What do you do when you travel? How do you keep yourself busy? You know, most guys have other band members to go kick around with. What kind of things Joe Pass like to do?
I do. I like to read, okay? I do a lot of reading. I talk to people. I like that. I talk to everybody, you know. I mean, I walk around a shopping mall or whatever. When you're on the road, you have to have a routine. You cannot be on the road, I found, without a routine. That is a routine. Before I play, I don't like to do anything. I like to rest, just sort of rest, just goof, you know, wait to build up the energy. And I like to eat, so I'm always looking for the good restaurants in every place I go and eat.
You keep yourself trim for a guy that likes to eat. Do you work out? Any of the new exercise fads caught on?
Nothing. No, this is one of the times I'm not eating.
What's next for Joe Pass? Where do you go from here? It would seem, and I get the impression again in seeing you play, that I'm seeing a very, very satisfied man, a man who is much at peace with himself and what he's doing.
I just want to keep working, you know, playing, traveling. I'm supposed to do an album with Andre Previn next month. He's maybe going to make a jazz album, and he and I and Ray Brown, but I don't know if that'll come off. It depends on record companies and all that. But just play, you know, play gigs and travel around, eat good. That's it.
Not bad. If you were to change anything that you've done in the past, would you take any different directions with your career?
I might, yeah. I guess the only thing I would have done maybe was get an education in music, like that is go to a conservatory and become a writer. You know, write music, become an arranger, writer, composer. I mean, you have to study that, you know. I mean, I would do that, get a musical education.
Do you do any writing?
No, I mean, I've composed a couple tunes, but I wouldn't call it writing. No.
Well, next time you're back in the area, I hope you can, we can maybe just sit down with a bunch of Joe Pass records and do an hour or something like that, you know.
Blues for Fred, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
The album Joe Pass referred to with Ray Brown and Andre Previn was still in its planning stages and had no name yet. When we finished the interview on March 3, 1989, he looked kind of thoughtful. So I said, "Something wrong?" He said, "No, not at all. This was really nice, and I enjoyed it, and I'd like to do something nice. We've already done Blues for Fred. What's the name of your show again?" I told him it was After Hours. He asked, "Would you mind if we call the new album After Hours?" My chin hit the floor. Mind? That would be incredible, beyond belief. Well, the album was recorded on March 29, 1989. And a month or so later, I received a CD. And on the cover, in gold, in a simulated handwritten font, was the title, After Hours. I wish I had left the tape recorder running, because he imparted a couple of other interesting tidbits, too, including that he'd always had an unusual, if not annoying, habit of breaking his guitar picks and playing only with the smaller part. As he began to do more solo performances rather than working with ensembles, he finally abandoned the pick altogether and played fingerstyle. Said it helped him execute his harmonic concepts more effectively. He really had things in focus, to use his own words. Not only does Joe Pass stand as one of the greatest guitarists of all time, he's also one of the nicest, most easygoing guys I've met in jazz, and one of the greatest educators, too. His legacy lives on through the knowledge and the skills that he so generously shared with music students around the world. I want to thank you for making the time to spend a few minutes with us here at the Mark of Jazz, and I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with the great Joe Pass as much as I've enjoyed sharing it with you. Now, if you'd like to hear something special or want to talk about things that you like best, just leave me a comment either here at the Jazz Scene or on the website itself, markofjazz.com. Until next time, let me remind you of a piece of wisdom offered by the great Miles Davis, who said, "Don't play what's there, play what's not there."